Nice. Very good. Nice to see you all. Hope you're surviving the summer heat that is now actually not so bad. Let's just do roll call. Jill.
Here.
Arielle.
Here.
Jennifer. No. James.
Here.
Craig.
Here.
Liz, no. Sophia?
Here.
Miranda, no. Tariq seems to be no. Riley?
Here.
Marshall?
Here.
Charlie?
Here.
Luis? I don't think I saw Luis. And Zach? Also is a no. Jonathan? And Rocio, I saw you come in. Okay, so co-chairs, Marshall and Sophia, if you want to call the meeting to order.
I call the meeting to order.
I second.
Okay, Zoom reminders. Try to keep your camera on. And your mute on. We don't use the chat for substantive comments. Raise your hand with the raise hand function. And we will prefer members over others, over observers, when it's in terms of questions and comments. And approved past meeting notes. Does anybody have any corrections or edits to the past meeting notes? Okay, that means that we have everyone approving the notes in support of approval. So, motion by co-chairs to approve past meeting notes.
I move to approve the past meeting notes from May.
I concur for a second.
Thank you. Review the agenda. Ryan.
Thanks, Tani. For today's meeting, we have on the agenda to get an update on the work of the project review subcommittee on a draft safety improvement plan for Prop 411. We'll also continue the discussion we had last month about potential funding authorization for small projects to be funded by Prop 411. And then hopefully this time we've budgeted some time for personal complete streets experiential opportunity. And this is on public transit. We've been trying to do this for a few months, so hopefully we'll have some time at the end where we can all those who'd like to can share their experiences riding public transit.
Excellent. Okay, so we're going to do a call to the audience. If you can raise your hand if you are interested in being part of call to the audience.
Okay, I do, but where do I raise my hand? This is Chris.
That's your a backup option is to say that. So I got that. So let me just read this out loud. Call to the audience is limited to 3 minutes per speaker and a total of 10 minutes all speaker for all speakers. All speakers must share their name in order to be recorded in the meeting minutes. Remember, the call to the audience may not result in discussion with members of CSCC. No legal action may take place during the call to the audience, and speakers may not be disruptive. CSCC members may only respond to criticism and request that items be placed on a future agenda for discussion. And members of the audience may still participate in agendized items as per the bylaws of the CSCC. So, Chris, go ahead. You have 3 minutes.
Okay, thank you very much. I'm Chris Lopez from Julia Keene Neighborhood Association, and I would just like to thank you for everything that you're doing to help the city of Tucson. And I would like to reiterate my concerns from the last meeting. So I just want to put that out there again regarding the safety improvements that are needed on Country Club from Aviation Parkway to 22nd Street. We have a dire need of the drainage system, curbs, sidewalks, lighting, and bus shelters. The north side of 22nd Street was improved quite a few years ago, and they stopped on the south side of 22nd Street. So, of course, we still need that desperately. We have all dirt, so nowhere to walk there. When it rains like it is now, we have a river running down the east side of Country Club in that area. So I would just like to reiterate all that and have it in the minutes. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Chris. That was very efficient. Are there other observers that would like to share comments with the commission?
I would like to. This is Sylvia Valdez.
Oh, hey, Sylvia. Very good.
Hi. Here, I'll put my video on for this. Hi, my name is Sylvia Valdez, and I live in Barrio Centro. And I would also kind of pivot on what Chris was saying. It is, again, you know, this disinvestment of our neighborhood, right? We've been making noise for quite some while, since 2020. And I think it's really crucial that, you know, finally the city does what it was promised to us, right? In Barrio Centro and Julie King neighborhood. And especially with the new, like the 22nd Bridge thing happening, so many more cars are going to be using South of Country Club and the connection to aviation. So already, like, you know, I already see so many cars driving by there. And also as a bike rider, you know, it is very unsafe. And now I have children in my life and I try to walk and it's super unsafe. And I really want definitely more safer pedestrians, walkways there for my safety concern, and also the elders as well, the bus stop. So I really wanted to make it like known here that, you know, we've been asking and requesting this for years. And again, like, it is known that anything south of 22nd is always forgotten. And it feels like we are just continuously having to advocate for ourselves south of 22nd. And so I wanted to come here, and I also want to thank Chris for the continuous advocacy, but it is really important other neighbors are also share the concerns too. And I want to make that known as well that, you know, we deserve the investment that was promised to us. So it's not like we're just coming out of nowhere. Like, this was promised to us years ago. And that's all. Thank you.
Thank you so much, both of you. Anyone else want to offer comments? Observer comment?
Okay. I received an email with comments that I'd like to read into the record.
Yes, go ahead.
So this comes from Sophia Blue, who is a resident of Julia Keene, and she wrote, I've been a resident of the Julia Keene neighborhood for 13 years, and in that time, I've seen the unsafe conditions on Country Club Road, south of 22nd, and north of Aviation. Every time it rains, debris and silt collects and makes it dangerous for those turning in and out of the neighborhood streets. It would be a shame to see the freshly paved streets be worn down quickly from the gravel that builds up. Drainage is definitely needed. Walking on Country Club is extremely dangerous as there are no sidewalks. This makes it inaccessible for those with disabilities and our elderly neighbors. Please consider the safety and accessibility needs of those of us living south of 22nd. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you all for all three sets of comments. So we will move to our next agenda item, which is, and just for the three of you who just spoke up, we can't, again, engage in any conversation right now about these topics since they're not agendized. But the agenda, the co-chairs, when we meet with the co-chairs, we can revisit this and think about the next agenda, that kind of thing. So the next item is current events, call to the committee. Sharing on relevant complete streets related events in the community. And if any of you have any upcoming events that you want to share. or not. Maybe it's just too hot.
No, things are still happening.
Okay. I'll jump
in. Go ahead. On the west side, on Grande Ave, on Friday, it's going to be closed off, and it's going to be a party for neighbors on the west side. And then Fuga will be there to do a ride as well from the event. Menlo Park is extending its pool hours from 6 to 7 for this event.
Excellent. Are there other events anyone else want to share? Okay. We'll proceed to the first main agenda topic, which is project review subcommittee. Ryan and Patrick, at least. And this is the purpose of this topic is just updating and information sharing since that subcommittee has met twice, I believe. Ryan or Patrick?
Thank you. Yeah, I think Patrick's going to take the lead on this since he's been putting together the plan.
Yeah. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us. And I've got a brief presentation and opportunity for some discussion about what's been happening with the CSC subcommittee as we work to develop the 5-year safety plan, which we'll be preparing to bring back to the entire committee for probably a more extensive discussion in July. So this is largely an update and talk about the framework that we've been going through. And we'll also be seeking any additional guidance to the subcommittee for their consideration as we finalize the project list for recommendation. So by way of background, the CSCC has been tasked by Tucson's mayor and council to develop a street safety improvement plan, defining how the 20% set aside funds from Proposition 411 will be used across 4 different categories. And as a refresher, Prop 411 is the one that's funding all the repaving projects happening in Tucson. That's where 80% of the funds are going. And then the 20%, which is brought through the CSCC, goes for these different safety categories, which includes a 30% set aside for sidewalk and pedestrian accessibility improvements, 20% for bicycle network enhancements, 30% for system-wide safety improvements, and 20% for traffic signal technology upgrades. And the language on the ballot is such that the total estimated revenue collection, that $45, $30 million, is based on an estimate from the 2022 dollars, but we have to really adhere to the percentage distribution of whatever is collected with the half-cent City of Tucson sales tax. So in 2022, the CSCC developed and approved a SSIP planning framework, which is what we've been building on as we put this project list together. And essentially, this is where the prioritization was established for looking at opportunities for layering into the Collector Street program, which is a complementary program to 411, authorized by mayor and council, setting aside $15 million a year for 5 years from the general fund and from the City of Tucson gas tax distribution for the purposes of repaving and collector streets. So the first priority was look for opportunities to layer into the collector street program to incorporate additional safety improvements such as lighting, sidewalks, bikeways, etc. And then priority two was to look outside of the collector program with any remaining funds using a prioritization framework based on Move Tucson, kind of safety performance of the corridors, the existing accessibility in terms of accessible sidewalks based on an ADA inventory, and their location in terms of in regard to equity focus areas. And equity focus areas were developed through Move Tucson, identifying locations where you have higher concentrations of transportation vulnerable populations, residents without automobiles, lower income residents, things of that nature. So with regard to where we are today in development of the SSIP, if you recall, we had a number of meetings working in coordination with the Independent Oversight and Accessibility Commission, who is overseeing 411 and the paving work, to approve the list for the collector program. From that list, DTM has been working with a consultant engineering design firm to develop cost estimates, detailed cost estimates for 16 of the approved collector corridors, which were approved both by the CSCC and the IOAC. The 16 corridors were then prioritized based on the criteria provided by the CSCC. Again, equity, safety, performance, move Tucson, tiering, et cetera. In the last month, then going through that, now that we have those more detailed cost estimates, we've held two meetings with the CSCC subcommittee. Ariel, I believe, was a member of that, and a couple other folks, Miranda, who isn't joining us, but I'll turn it over to them to speak as well and kind of provide their input. And as a result of those discussions, ultimately ended up developing a recommendation for 7 years of projects, which includes the 2 years of funding that we've already collected and the projects we've identified, which the CSCC has already committed, and then projecting 5 years into the future for committing those funds out until the seventh year of Proposition 411. Proposition 411, as a reminder, is a 10-year program. We had initially brought a couple of different options to the subcommittee, looking at funding only 5 years of the collector program, wrapping in additional safety funds into the collector program because the needs far exceed what the funding availability is for the collector program, or at the far end, tying up all 10 years of the safety funds on the collector program. Based on discussion with the subcommittee, it was determined that we would keep the commitment to the collector program to the initial 5 years to match the funding availability funding set aside by mayor and council, and open up the remaining funding over the subsequent 2 years to other critical safety needs in the city, in this instance, looking a lot at our arterial or higher volume roadways, where some of our critical safety needs are and where a lot of our pedestrian safety needs are in particular. So we can talk more about that, but I just wanted to show you kind of where we are with our list. We're going to send you out a draft of the SSIP following the meeting for you to dig in more to this, but we just wanted to give you this overview. So what we're showing here are the projects and the project status of things that have previously been approved by the CSCC, including Bilby Road Modernization, one of our layering projects, Limberlost, Greasewood, Old Spanish Trail, Silver Bell, Calle Santa Cruz, and Tucson Boulevard. A couple of these are currently in active construction. Of the 16 projects that were originally investigated that were collector streets, we ended up identifying and proposing advancing seven corridors based on the funding constraints, the safety needs, the location within an equity focus area, the move Tucson priority, which would include Drexel Road, 29th Street, 36th Street, Fairview, Glen, Columbus, and Romero. That would be it for what would be committing to the collector program. The other nine corridors would then be moving along to repaving work, but we wouldn't necessarily be looking at layering and funding for sidewalks, street lighting, because there were other priorities that were identified in discussion with the subcommittee. And then we looked at each of those individual categories. So this would be the pedestrian improvement category. The CSCC had previously approved funding for sidewalk infill on Broadway and committing to the roundabout on 36th Street. Because we were moving some projects off, some funding off of the collector street, we're then able to bring in sidewalk infill projects on Ajo Way and Wilmot at recommendation and discussion with members of the subcommittee. Moving on to the bicycle network enhancement, same thing. Everything shown here in the orange was previously committed by the CSCC. A lot of those projects are active in design and are advancing. We would be bringing two additional projects for consideration to the CSCC, shown in white, which would be a new bike boulevard on Gallup and Igo, and then adding protective elements to make Mountain Avenue a protected, basically having protected bike lanes from Speedway to Fort Lowell. Committed safety projects, we have these in orange. Congress, which is actually going to have some design concepts being shared at the block party on Grande this Friday. So it'll be our first public meeting around this project that was previously approved by the CSCC. The 10% set aside for neighborhood safety improvements. We've already installed a number of these following the CSCC's approval and are in design on several others. Golf Links and Oracle and Old Tourist Hawk. This would be the category that would be most expanded by reducing the investment in the Collector Street program And some of the projects here that we'd be proposing would be a dedicated kind of safety project on the far western extent of Fort Lowell, where we have one of our highest concentrations of pedestrian crashes and pedestrian fatalities in the city. Bringing in street lighting on Country Club and Nogales. These projects have been previously discussed by the CSCC with some funding authorization to advance street lighting on Nogales. We would be able to advance a package of six already designed Hawk lights, bring street lighting to Irvington Road, have a funding set aside for safety spot improvements, would kind of be a quick response. And then we're also investigating dusk till dawn lighting on 22nd Street, which again is another one of our highest pedestrian crash corridors. It's a future RTA funded project, but that's probably 8 to 10 years out. So we're looking at an interim solution to provide illumination on the corridor, given that about 75% of our serious pedestrian crashes are happening under dark conditions. So given the totality of that, this is what we're looking at. So we're proposing tying up 7 years of the funding, which at this level commits most of everything through year seven of the program, which I believe takes us out till 2029 or thereabouts. There's a little bit of funding capacity within the sidewalk category for the next 7 years. We have more available funding under the bikeway program, which we could look to identify additional projects. The safety funding is largely tied up, and the signal funding is kind of moving on its own plan, which we'll bring to a future CSCC meeting. What that does leave then is 3 years of uncommitted funding, which we could come back in probably 2 to 3 years from now and update the SSIP, reevaluating the collections as well as the costs of some of the projects. But as it stands right now, we probably have about $12 to $14 million, depending on the category of uncommitted funding out until year 10 of the 411 program. So with that, we are preparing and packaging this for the July CSCC meeting for a more detailed discussion and potentially approval of the recommendation. But what we're really looking for tonight would be any guidance or input provided to the subcommittee who's been kind of working hard helping us pull this together. With that, I'll turn it over to any members of the subcommittee who would like to talk about kind of what you were thinking of, we went through this prioritization, or kind of your experience.
Subcommittee members? Go ahead, Ariel.
I think I might be the only one on today. I just wanted to say thank you to both Patrick and Ryan for walking the subcommittee through all of the very detailed spreadsheets and proposals and helping us really understand the thought process behind the prioritization and also really taking our feedback and input very seriously. We the subcommittee members were very happy with where the recommended list ended up and how it evolved in between the various discussions, taking into account our feedback, that it's a really good balance, we thought, between the funding for the Collector Streets programs and then opening up additional funding for those high priority safety investments on the arterial roads, which are the bigger roads, which have the potential to make an even greater impact on those high priority areas of safety, accessibility, et cetera. So we were very happy with the process and where we landed, and very happy to also, you know, answer any questions about, you know, our thought process and the discussions that we had.
Sophia.
I feel like we need a keyword like absorption when we need to go back to the content, see it a second time, let it like really sink in. So could we do that with the slides? I feel like we breezed past the projects.
Which slide? You want the project list slide?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, and Sophia, also, we will send this out following the meeting and then really dive in project by project, I think, at the July meeting as well. So there will be ample time to kind of digest this, but I'm happy to bring the presentation back up.
Yeah, and as time allows, it's always helpful to get a second look, even though the materials get sent out before or after.
So you wanted to look specifically at the proposed project list?
Mm-hmm.
Great. So, yep, here were the seven proposed collector streets. And I can talk a little bit more about these if that would be helpful to give a little bit more background on the projects themselves.
And then I think, too, for context, it's like, all right, we see the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 projects. And then how many other projects are there that were considered?
Yep. So I can show that as well. There were 9 collector corridors that didn't ultimately make this cut. Going through kind of that prioritization approach. So what we were looking at primarily was that move to Tucson prioritization, making sure we're continuing to advance the long-range transportation plan. We were looking at the location within an equity focus area, again, where we're that concentration of transportation vulnerable populations. We looked at something called the level of safety service, which is the actual observed number of crashes versus what would be predicted on that type of roadway. So, for example, a 5,000 vehicle per day, 3-lane roadway has an X number of crashes you would expect. And if it significantly exceeds that number, that's an indication that there's an underlying safety problem on that corridor.
And does that include pedestrian car crashes?
Absolutely. Yep. Okay. And then we specifically looked at pedestrian crashes, severe pedestrian crashes, and number of fatalities. It's not presented here, but we can share that information out as well. And it was part of what we discussed with the task force. The subcommittee. So we had Drexel Road, which was Mission to Midvale, which is right in front of Grijalva Middle School. It's a 5-lane roadway currently, about 6,000 to 7,000 ADT, no lighting. There are continuous sidewalks, so the pedestrian pieces of it's going to be very small. But the intent here is this is actually going to be connected to the future proposed Drexel Road Bridge, which is going to increase some volume through this area on Drexel Road. So we wanted to incorporate safety improvements on Drexel, particularly in front of the elementary school, knowing that this corridor is currently overbuilt. It's a great opportunity for us to narrow it up, incorporate safety funding, and just improve it and build it more to a neighborhood scale.
And then the county will pick up Mission west of Mission Road, I believe.
Yep, they have that identified as an RTA next plan, and it would be providing continuity on the corridor, basically 3 lanes for the extent instead of this one piece that's 5 lanes. It wouldn't get us the dip crossing at the western branch of the Santa Cruz, which still is not providing an all-weather access because that's a whole new bridge. So that's a future big-ticket project that we're not picking up under this program. 29th Street would be on the eastern end of the kind of new Thrive area that's been identified through housing and community development. Again, I think it's an opportunity to reallocate some space on the corridor. We did, I think it's about 8,000 ADT, if I recall correctly, a tier one high priority equity focus area. And it's really just a kind of a corridor cleanup. I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of reallocation of space, but it's providing accessible sidewalks, et cetera. 36th Street, similar, some multifamily housing, bus service along the area, lacking sidewalks. We're looking at potentially connecting, I believe, between at least Greasewood to La Cholla to Mission. There's a convenience store on the corner that a lot of people, a lot of residents are walking to, and there's been a history of pedestrian crashes. Fairview is going to be a project that we can actually layer in a 407 project, which is very cool. So this is going to be connecting to where the new Paspoyaki Casino is being built at Fairview and Grant. Prop 407 is funding a protected bike lane, but only the protected bike lane from Grant to Prince. With no other improvements. So what this would do would be able to extend the protected bike lane north of Limberlost, connect to the Limberlost project that's already been approved by the CSCC, as well as bringing pedestrian improvements, as well as kind of vitally needed lighting along the corridor. And then potentially extending south through the casino area to a connection to the loop through the Grant Road project that's happening at the Union Pacific underpass. And the I-10 on-ramp. So there's a lot happening with that Fairview project, but it's an opportunity to really layer different programs to develop, to deliver a much higher quality project. Glen is another one that's very similar to that, and which is why we elevated it. So we have 407 walkability funding from Oracle to Country Club. We have a repaving project from Cherry to El Vernon, which is part of the Collector Street program. And what this proposal would do would be bringing in enhanced bikeways, basically to correspond with the paving work from Cherry to El Vernon, and extending the 407 project to close that final remaining gap on Glen from Country Club to El Vernon, essentially. So we can bring it all in as a single project and kind of finish off that corridor. But the sidewalk and pedestrian improvements would only really be for that 1 mile from Country Club to El Vernon. Columbus was one of the higher volume and higher crash corridors on our list. It's, I believe, a 3 mile section. And it's, 2 to 3 lane kind of urban collector. Sidewalk is intermittent, an opportunity to do some repaving work, bring in some lighting. And I want to say this one had about 142 crashes, and it's definitely the most probably complex and biggest project on this list. And then finally, Romero Road is just closing a kind of a short section, about a half mile. It's industrial on one side. It's a high focus, an equity focus area. And it also would be providing sidewalk continuity and lighting where there isn't any to tie in with some of the new improvements that are going under construction imminently on Roger Road that was funded under Proposition 407. So that's kind of the biography of each of these projects. And I think if it'd be helpful at the next meeting, we can dig into kind of the street view and take a look at the actual conditions.
And like other people have questions too. You're just not raising your hand yet. For the amounts, what is the process with coming up with those? Is it looking at the bare minimum needs of those areas? Is the city providing suggestions for, like, when y'all do the subcommittee meeting, are you providing suggestions for what should be implemented? Talk more on process.
Yeah. No, that's a great question. So we basically did a very high level conceptual design. Design is probably too strong of a word, but conceptual cross section for each of these corridors to estimate the quantities that would be needed for sidewalk, for lighting, how much a curb ramp costs, how many driveway crossings we're looking at, based on the dimensions and kind of idealized cross sections from the Complete Streets Street Design Guide. Our assumption on each of these is the gold or platinum tier corridor. So it was kind of the no compromise version of this, assuming full curb, full lighting, full sidewalk. That said, when we get into design, there might be some cost savings, but we told the design firm, the engineering firm, to be very conservative, basically estimate everything, go for a high number because we've been seeing cost escalations, and it also gives us an opportunity to find cost savings in design, which we could then redistribute or identify additional projects through the safety plan. But we didn't want to overly constrain ourselves at the outset. One of the assumptions we did make, though, would be like no right-of-way. So, I mean, there might be some pieces here and there for like curb ramps, things like that, but we're not talking about like moving curb line out. Many of these corridors are residential, so we're trying not to impact people's private residential property with these improvements, but what we can fit within our existing right-of-way. At least not hitting structures.
Any other questions? And Patrick asked for guidance for the subcommittee. Are there any other thoughts about that? Or specific types of guidance you want to ask them about, Patrick?
Yeah, I just want to see if there would be need for convening another subcommittee meeting to finalize anything, if there's any direction from the broader committee about, in terms of the prioritization, other projects to consider, different ways of presenting the information, or if kind of the idea of tying up 7 years of the program for these projects.
Sophia?
I'm just saying that I don't have a complete thought and that I'm going to think about it. But for the sake of open meeting laws, I'm saying that the right-of-way comment's confusing to me. But maybe it's connected to like a bigger education thing that we could look at.
No, so that's a great point. So when I'm talking about right of way, sometimes, you know, the complete streets cross section for an ideal corridor would be 42 feet wide from the back of the sidewalk to the back of the sidewalk on the other side of the road. And that's how much space we would need to have a protected bike lane to narrow up our travel lanes, to get street lighting in, to get sidewalk, comfortable sidewalk and landscaping. In many cases on these corridors, we don't necessarily have 42 feet. So the direction was, you know, let's build out the best possible corridor within the 35 feet that we have. So we're not proposing moving this road into somebody's front yard or potentially running into acquisitions of a private property, which is going to be disruptive. It's going to drive up costs and it's going to, you know, be affecting residents.
And then will the major streets and routes right-of-way adjustments affect that in any way?
Another good question. So slightly different thing. So what the major streets and routes really does is when a lot is redeveloped, it's there to secure for the future our ideal right-of-way. So if the ideal cross-section is 42 feet, what the major streets and route says, if this property changes, if it gets redeveloped, the new property on that parcel will have to be set back 42 feet from the roadway. So in the future, if we improve this roadway, we have enough space to fit those things in. And that is being based on the complete streets cross sections. But in terms of these more immediate projects that we're delivering, you know, we're working with the parcel lines as they exist currently, with the location of the structures as they currently exist.
Okay, I'll request a right-of-way presentation for the next time.
Okay.
Added to future agenda items. It's there.
So the question about should the subcommittee have another meeting? Arielle, you've been in the subcommittee. What do you think?
I think where we landed, and you know, Patrick and Ryan obviously jump in if I'm misremembering anything from our last discussion. I think the subcommittee members were really comfortable with this proposed project list that's going to be, that we've been looking at, and that's going to be sent out in more detail. So unless we receive additional guidance from the broader committee that you have more questions, or we need to be considering additional things that were not included in the original rounds of consideration and discussion, we would not necessarily plan to meet again. But if there's a need to meet again, we would be absolutely happy to.
Jill? Oh, you're on mute.
Sorry. I just want to say thank you to the subcommittee for all this work. That's a tremendous amount of work. And I personally feel comfortable with this information carried on to July and look forward to it being mailed, though, for sure. I just want to make a comment.
Yeah, good. Marshall?
Thank you. Yeah, I was going to ask, how does the remaining 411 safety money how does that get dispersed?
Yeah. So two things. So I think the bikeway money, we have capacity within that 7-year program. So what we can do it is advance this, you know, potentially list as it exists, and then identify additional projects to update the plan with, you know, over the coming months to year. If there are projects of opportunity, if the CSCC has projects they're interested in terms of the three out years 8, 9, and 10, we would propose probably in 3 years to revisit and do a whole scale update of the SSIP, taking it out to year 10 of the 411 program. We do want to leave a little bit of that capacity on the back end because it's going to give us a little bit more flexibility. It'll be able to identify projects or needs as they emerge. And it also provides a little bit of a safety valve in case there's some cost escalations that we weren't necessarily anticipating, to make sure that we're not programming out every penny of the fund, a bit of a contingency.
Yeah, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it sounds like there doesn't need to be another subcommittee meeting unless Patrick or Ryan, you have something additional to request about that.
No, what we can do is send this information out. And if the members of the committee have some recommendations, some changes, some proposals, they can send that back to staff. And what we could do, and then Arielle, if you'll allow the indulgence, is maybe reconvene the subcommittee to step through those. If there's no recommendations that come from the committee in writing, then we can come back with this package in July.
That sounds good. Be happy to meet again if needed.
Okay, good. And Sophia, then James.
Pop quiz for myself. The collector streak comes from Herf, and then what part is 411?
Yeah. So the Collector Street is a mix of two different funding sources. So it's 15 million. 11 of that is coming from HERF, which is the state gas tax, vehicle license tax, a couple other sources. And then 4 million is from the City of Tucson General Fund that was directed by mayor and council for 5 years. 411 then, and that's going to pay for the paving piece of any of these projects that's on the collector list, basically curb to curb, as well as the curb ramps. And then the 411 piece is the half cent City of Tucson sales tax, which is generated here locally, and we're seeing about $76 to $80 million a year in collection for that program.
James?
We're in year two of Prop 411, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, so that table of seven, that means really it's 5 years from now, is what you're saying.
Exactly. It's projecting basically the first 2 years that have kind of been funding's been committed to a lot of these on more of a piecemeal. So these are those individual projects that we've been taking. Last year, the CSCC did meet and approve a year one program. So those are also reflected in here. And then a number of projects that we've picked up along the way. So that would be this list. This is basically that first 2 years of funding commitment. So
Thanks.
five going forward, two already committed for a total of 7 years of the program.
Okay, so I think we should move on to the next topic. I think we have clear next steps. Thank you, Patrick and Ryan
Thank
and
you, everyone.
Arielle.
We'll make sure we get this information out this week so you have kind of the maximum amount of time to review and ask questions and provide comments.
Excellent. Okay, next up, small projects 411 funding authorization. So this conversation happened in the last meeting. You wanted to come back to it. The purpose is to discussion to develop proposal and possible decision item. So Ryan is going to start by sharing example projects that would be approached in this method. And I believe you guys have the de more detailed agenda that actually has a proposed way it could work. So it's right there, and I can share screen after Ryan's finished.
Thanks, Sunny. Let me share my screen real fast. Okay. So I just put together just a real quick slide here. Basically, this is kind of reiterating some of what you're already familiar with, but just to provide sort of three examples of things that, these types of projects could come up again. Just to give you an idea. So there's the Calle Santa Cruz sidewalk that was approved by you all a few months ago that added 550 feet of new sidewalk, filling in a gap on Calle Santa Cruz at a cost of about $60,000. So other opportunities like that might come up on other streets, could potentially be funded in this way. On Tucson Boulevard, we added additional striping to provide enhanced buffered bike lanes on that street. That sort of thing could come up again on a mile. It added about $15,000 to add those buffers, or at least that's what we're projecting. And this could be something where, for example, there might be a street where we have the room to just add striping add striping to an existing road. Maybe we have overly wide outside lanes, and we can add those buffers in without making other changes to the road. So that could be a fairly small dollar thing that we can design in-house and implement at a relatively low cost. So that's an example of something like that, and it would be relatively inexpensive on a per mile basis. The third thing is something that you haven't seen before. This is something that came out of a request from the Bicycle Advisory Committee. Our traffic engineering team worked with a consultant on this to design some improvements that connect to the Toucan crossing on the 3rd Street Bike Boulevard at Alvernon. So this would add a bike ramp and improve access on the north side, northwest side of that crossing. It's a little hard to see here. I can pull up the plan sheet if you all are interested in seeing a little more detail. Basically, it would add a bike ramp and make that an easier and safer connection from 3rd Street onto Alvernon to that path that runs along the west side of Alvernon Way. So you can kind of, if you can see my cursor, you can kind of see that here. This would be that ramp there. This would also replace and improve the pedestrian ramp down here. It would add some improved signage and striping along this stretch here that connects to the Toucan here, and add some green ladder markings across the driveways for enhanced visibility of that path for people who are crossing the driveway. And that would cost about $70,000. And, you know, traffic engineering, they have things like this come up. Sometimes they have funding to do some, basic design on it, but the funding to actually build this stuff is not always readily available. So this is an example of something that potentially could be funded in this way as well. So that's all I have in terms of examples.
Any questions on those specifically? Otherwise, I'm going to share this kind of the elements that have come up so far as kind of the proposal for how to handle these kind of projects. So I'm going to, can you stop sharing? Okay, and let's see, do you see my screen? Hopefully you only see one thing, not all the things that are on my screen.
Yeah, I just see the agenda.
Oh, good. Whew. Okay. So this, you all have this, I believe, but this would be, so Ryan mentioned these three examples. The proposal for the group discussion is, as was discussed before, and I don't know, Ryan, if you want to go through this or if I should read through this.
I can, unless you'd prefer to. I'm happy to.
Okay, go for it.
All right. The discussion that we had when we were putting together the agenda, just as a jumping off point, essentially, just so we'd have something to sort of sink our teeth into at this meeting, was, we'd have $100,000 limit per project. There would be projects that generally meet our complete streets criteria, and these are all the same things that we look for and we present when we bring projects to the CSCC. And this would be for funding approval. It would not be, related to design input. So, any design input that we might, want to seek from the CSCC that you all might want to request, that would be separate. And that would be the same as a project that was approved individually. And then we're proposing that it would be done as a trial period with a maximum of a total of 8 projects or $500,000, whichever comes first. And so that would be a way to sort of put a cap on it, and if there's any concerns about, a lot of money being spent without being notified, then, that would be a way to address that. But we would also be providing information in advance of each CSCC meeting of which projects have come up and that are being advanced in this way. So we would be, keeping you all apprised of what's going on and not just coming to you at the end of the trial period. And at any time, any member can request a presentation on any of these projects, and we'd be happy to do that.
Okay, so discussion. What do you think about this as an approach to try it out? James?
Yeah, I think this is a pretty good idea. And reflecting on it since last meeting, I would even be willing to raise the 100K limit per project, but I think this is a good start. And my attitude is, until these are small dollar projects, you know, there's a trial period. If there's some big problem, then we would see it. And yeah, I'm all for it.
Other comments? Sophia's got a thumbs up.
Craig.
Any concerns about this? Marshall. Not that it's a concern, but.
Yeah, I was just going to say, we talked about this. I think, you know, the examples that were just shown, were like we said, were these. There's projects that don't require any kind of design input from the CSEC. They've been really not that controversial, and opening up in the future agenda will allow us to talk more in detail, especially, you know, next month we could spend even more time going through those project lists and the design for each of those. So I think that's what we're really trying to create is that extra time.
Good. Any other questions, comments about this? Anybody have concern and won't be able to support this? Because we're going to do a decision on it in terms of if you approve this approach. And or any edits to it. Okay, so let's just, members, if you can turn your cameras on, if you're a member, a voting member, which I think all of you have your cameras on. Okay, then go ahead and just use your thumbs. Thumbs up, support. Thumbs up, side is like, I'm not going to block it. Looks like everybody's got thumbs up. Okay, so that means it's a decision that you've approved this as the approach to move forward. And now we'll shift over to Robert's rules. So, Sophia, do you want to move to approve and then Marshall, second?
I move to approve this small funding approval streamline process.
Oh, I second.
And it's as detailed in the agenda. Okay, excellent. Let me stop sharing. All right, so the next topic is the CSCC hub. We're just moving right along here. I'll call on each of you. So again, just a reminder for anybody new, the purpose is connecting the Transportation and Mobility Commissions with the CSCC. This is two-way connection. So first, Independent Oversight and Accountability Commission. Jim, are you still here?
I am still here. And
great.
We tentatively have a meeting scheduled for July 22nd. That may change. There's some discussion of postponing it. We have no action items anticipated, but this would be a normal meeting where we would be giving updates on financial stat and program delivery status at the normal quarterly meeting.
Any questions for Jim about the IOAC? All right. Park Tucson, Jill.
Hi. Well, Sophia asked last meeting about kind of like what was the purpose of Park Tucson. So I had a meeting with Tom, the director, and kind of asked some questions about how it applies to complete streets. And the answer there was really kind of like giving advice or giving input, not advice, input on road projects where on-street parking or off-street parking would apply. But the, you know, what Park Tucson does is it manages the city-owned parking structures and lots around kind of the downtown area. I think the Park Tucson area goes from like Mercado area to Campbell, and then 22nd to Speedway. But it must go to Grant, actually. and also it manages like curb uses and helps kind of determine how curb space is used, which is interesting as life changes, you know, and there's like a lot more ride share and things of that nature. And then also Park Tucson is meant to manage residential parking programs. So the neighborhoods around the downtown area and around the UVA have some protection against just kind of becoming parking lots as public parking is becoming more and more in demand as a lot more things are being built. And that kind of leads into right now, Park Tucson's struggling with its residential parking program. It doesn't really support itself. And there's another component of the residential parking program. I don't know how many of you guys live in a place where you have to, you know, have a parking permit to park in front of your house. I do, and I find it really valuable. And there's also a neighborhood reinvestment portion of that, that if you hit a threshold of participation, you get some of the money back that your neighborhood puts in for things like traffic calming measures. They're meant to be, you know, neighborhood projects related to traffic. So I think there's a lot of contention sort of going on. If the RPP program either goes away or doesn't, you know, use the money for reinvestment, I think that that's personally, I think that's really problematic. And a lot of neighbors from around downtown and the university have been showing up the past two meetings to kind of express the same, that, you know, they're concerned. Because I mean, if you imagine if there was no more permitted parking in neighborhoods, it would just become parking lots for UVA students, people going, you know, to entertainment. Because if you could park on a street, why would you want to pay $5 to park in a garage that's, you know, four blocks away? So that's kind of the how I joined Sophia's question with what happened at the meeting yesterday. And if anybody has, I mean, that's a very like overview, you know, quick overview. But if anybody has any questions, I would love to try and answer them. And if I can't, I can come back to next meeting with some answers.
Any questions for Jill? Comments? Sophia?
I'll reflect that that's the what they do, but maybe not why they do it. But I feel like the information that you're sharing is pretty helpful because I feel like parked cars are actually can be helpful to pedestrians as a buffer. And maybe that's something that we think about, like, yeah, what does Complete Streets want to ask of Park Tucson? There might be something there. I just don't know what it is yet. So
there's some verbiage in like the Complete Street, you know, manual or whatever we would want to call it, that talks about the function of parking. And that there's not meant to be any street parking on, like, I'm sorry, it's been a long day. What are the streets? No, we were just talking about them. They like funnel traffic into bigger streets. Yeah.
Collector streets.
Yeah. There's not meant to be on street parking on those types of streets. But then I wonder about Sixth Avenue, you know, because there's on-street parking there, and I don't know if that's considered a major road or not. But it kind of goes into detail about how many feet there's meant to be from the curb to the end of the, you know, where you park your car, and then how much space should be provided for, you know, safe cycling passage. I think that that's applied it on new projects, but certainly not retroactively, if you think about like Fourth Avenue or Congress or whatever. So, but there is kind of a lot of verbiage in there about what parking, like how parking fits in with Complete Streets that I hadn't read before, Sophia, you asked this question. So I learned a lot myself, and thank you for asking it.
Thanks, Jill. And you're asking about the collector streets makes me think maybe someday we can play urban transportation charades That would be interesting and difficult. Okay, so the next up is Tucson Transit Advisory Committee, Riley.
Yeah. I don't have any big updates from our last meeting. The only one is just, I don't know if this matters to anyone here, but I stepped down as chair for a while, so we have new chair, but I'm still on the committee. That's about all I have to share today. Any questions?
Thank you, Riley. Bicycle Advisory Committee, James.
Yes, we met last Wednesday. It was a pretty low, not a lot on the schedule. A few updates, though, from stuff I've shared in the past. We did finalize the letter that we were sending to Pima County about the Dodge Boulevard bridge that crosses to go to River Road. We had a lot of concerns about, well, two concerns under the one obvious concern is the quality of the pavement makes it dangerous, and the second is the signage is very confusing for both bicyclists as to how to navigate that intersection. And so we sent that letter off. We'll see. We sort of heard through the grapevine that the county was willing to spend some of their they have a pavement that some kind of improving pavement program that I'm from forgetting the specific name of. I'm sure Jonathan could fill in the gaps there. And then we have been in conversations with TPD about how they report bicycle fatalities specifically, but and they have been very responsive, as I've said, and we've got some feedback from them, which was that a lot of the language that we see in news stories is very much not reflected in their case reports, that they recommended we go talk to the media outlets about some of it because they find that a lot of the media outlets do add language to their reports, and some of our concerns had to do with those cases. So those are sort of a that's kind of an ongoing long term project. We're still trying to engage the sheriff's office about the same kind of a thing. But there's less response from them, I would say. I think that's about it. We also have a new chair, so we're just getting going with a new committee, and I think it's going well. So if anyone has any questions, I would be willing to answer.
Questions?
Yeah, well, I was just gonna say, sorry, that sounds like a ring around, like Spider-Man's in the multiverse. Like who's doing what then, for victim blaming?
Yeah, definitely. But it's at least a relief to me that we're actually in a conversation, and that they seem to have stepped up their priority of the bike meetings. They've kind of assigned an official person, actually, though, even though they say that sometime. But he does show up and provide good feedback, and yeah, so it's a step in the right direction. I mean, my concern with the comment about addressing the media outlets, I was like, well, what outlets? I mean, what? I mean, how many are we gonna have to? I don't know. But the conversation started, which I think is kind of half the battle here. And so yeah.
Thanks, James. Okay, Zach is not here for the Commission on Disability Issues, and no one else can speak to that. Is that correct? Okay, so moving to our next topic, Personal Complete Streets Experiential Opportunity for the Month. Sophia, why don't you kick us off for this?
It's because I can't really ride my bike at the moment. But my Complete Streets experience, everyone's doing it. If they're not a regular transit rider, they're making the effort to invest. It's kind of like Even if you don't get a library card, go get one so that libraries stay open. Same thing with transit, public transit, even though there are many people using it. And so for me, it was a little intimidating. I can go to other cities and figure out their public transit. And so I phoned a friend and we decided that, so she was going to teach me how to use the bus and the app. And then together we were going to figure out how do you load bicycles onto the bus. And so we both watched a video that Fuga had posted about how to load your bus on your bike. It's on their Instagram, on their YouTube page. And then we just did it together. And then we rode the bus to a coffee shop, watching for our stop. And it was a very pleasant activity. So anyone who hasn't yet utilized public transit in Tucson, definitely recommend to do it with a friend.
So now we wanted to hear from the rest of you. Any of you do the experiential, Marshall?
Yeah, so I rode Saturday. I rode my bike on the new section of aviation. A new section of Aviation Parkway that's been open for a while now. It has the protected bike lanes with the kind of curb material. I don't know exactly what that's called. I think it's a great section of the road, and I'm excited to see the rest of it get complete.
Great. Anyone else? Ride the bus or do anything else related? James.
I ride the bus quite a lot, I guess I would say. And I find it to be I'm relating this to bus experiences from other cities I've lived in, so I'm sure there are complaints to go around, but I actually think it's kind of nice, considering the size of Tucson, especially when the monsoon hits and, you know, I'm at work and it starts going down and I don't really want to bike home in a storm. That's when it's very valuable. Definitely the not having to pay is a big deal. I can't really say I would continue to ride the bus as much if I had to pay for it. That's not an issue that CSCC addresses, but just floating that out there. I love the bus in Tucson.
Marshall.
Sorry, I was having technical issues. I didn't mean to raise my hand.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Others of you? Okay, so Marshall, did you mean?
I wanted to bring up one point.
Okay.
So I know this isn't specifically for things you can in Tucson. I've tried where you rent the bikes and you ride around. I've done the scooters before. My only thing is I've been traveling a lot over the last year, and they've had some cities have had quite a bit more the pay-as-you-go transit, you know, the scooters, the bikes, the little e-bikes type. And I think, you know, as we continue to build out these complete streets and create these corridors for different modes of transportation, I would think that the city council should definitely take a look at opening more of those avenues for companies to come in. That's it for that.
Okay. Any other comments? Marshall? Oh, did you mean to say something else? Craig?
I actually didn't know that we had that SunTran had the app until Sophia made her comment, and I was looking it up and it looks really cool. And I was just kind of curious if maybe we might, as part of a future meeting agenda, if we might be able to have someone from, you know, SunTran or, you know, other agencies to kind of come and talk us through like how that works, or you know, it's just something along the lines of, you know, just kind of introducing that to the committee so we might be able to talk about it with our ward representatives and public and that kind of stuff. So.
Good idea. All right, so how about the next experiential opportunity? Any suggestions for what you would want to encourage everyone to do or look at, see?
I was either thinking small, something to do with small business, because I feel like we don't always deal in the complete street small business component, or it could be who needs to know about complete streets and who do you need to tell about what you do on your your Wednesday night once a month.
And can you clarify what you meant by small business?
Yeah, so economy is a portion of the Complete Streets lens. It's supposed to be that Complete Streets lend themselves to stronger local economies. And so maybe something regarding visiting a small business.
Any other ideas? We'll take this up in the agenda meeting.
Those are both awesome ideas, Sophia. Thank you.
James?
Could you just say something about what? I don't think I was on the committee when this was started, so it's, I mean, I'm kind of picked up what's going on, but the specific goal of these, can you say something about that?
This topic of that we're doing right now?
Yeah, well, like,
The personal experiential opportunity? Yeah.
yeah. What's the purpose of that? Yeah.
Well, I think it was Sophia's idea. No, whose idea was it? Anyway.
Keep saying that.
Oh, well, somebody had the idea, and we can just share credit. It just emerged. And it was basically to we set up field trips, optional field trips, where we'd go look at like streeteries or different things. I don't know if we did three or four of them, but then there was the idea of maybe we could, when we didn't have a field trip, we could just have some complete streets concept or idea that's out there, and that you all would just kind of on your own be able to go do that thing. So it's like a homework in between meetings versus just being on these Zoom calls. That's the idea.
I
Live,
see. So
breathe,
it's supposed to
eat,
sort of emphasize
sleep.
complete streets.
Oh yeah, totally. Like it could be everybody go find a hawk and use it and see what you think about it, like related to last meetings and the other thing that now I'm escaping my mind what it was called. And compare them, or go find, go to see this like really model complete streets and notice how you feel when you're there. That was your idea, Sophia. That's the idea.
I like Sophia's idea she's put in the chat, the 411 reported traffic concern. I haven't done
You're welcome, City of Tucson.
that.
All right, so we'll add that to the list. There's that.
Just a minor note that that'd be 311. I wonder what happens when you call 411. I haven't called 411 in so long. I don't even know if you can.
Because we were talking about Prop 411, that's my bad.
That's right.
Okay. All future pothole requests to before 11.
Marshall?
Yeah, maybe based on the presentation we had for the presentation we had about the different crosswalks and different ways of crossing the street, everybody try to cross as many different ways as they can using all the different signals or ways, and then see which one you think you're more likely to use or avoid in the future.
Right, lots of ways of crossing. Good idea. All right, so we've got some good ideas. This will get us through a few more months. Okay, wrap up items. Starting with something I forgot earlier. Rewind back to project review subcommittee minutes. We need to actually approve them. There were two meetings that had minutes. They were sent to you yesterday. Most likely, most of you haven't read them, but we do need to, anybody who did read them, and if you notice any errors or so corrections or edits needed.
So, Tani, you know, we already approved the main meeting minutes. Since we only have one member of the subcommittee here, I wonder if maybe we should wait until we have
more,
at least one more, so we have a quorum of the subcommittee to approve those.
I think that's more accurate, more helpful.
Sorry, I was bugging you behind the scenes, just like wait.
Yes, he was.
and then I realized, like, oh yeah. Sorry.
Okay. All right, so DTM staff and project updates, Ryan, Patrick, and Jim.
I can go first. I can give a few updates. There is a First Avenue Task Force meeting tomorrow night. It's the first one, I believe. That's a project that Patrick is managing. So if you're interested in that, that is at the Woods Memorial Library at 5:30, and that's tomorrow. And if there are any members who want to be added to the distribution list for that project, just let us know. Tucson Boulevard, which we mentioned earlier, with the enhanced bike lanes, that's currently under construction, although actually Jim, maybe he can give a bit more of an update on that. Grant 3-4 on the east end of the Grant Road corridor, that is also under construction now. Silver Bell is continuing active construction. Some of the improvements that you all approved are already in. We've got a bunch of curb ramps. The sidewalk, I believe, is all completed on the east side where that's being filled in, and more to come. But that's moving along quickly. So I'm actually hoping in the fall for us to do a field trip and actually walk that project area, because I'd love to have a discussion about how it turned out and you know, the process that we had in getting to what we came up with. So stay tuned for that. The protected bike lane on Stone Avenue from Alameda down to Ochoa Street is going to go to construction this summer and should be complete by this fall. The RAISE grant that we applied for the Drexel Bridge was unsuccessful. So we will be seeking funding and future grant funding cycles for that. The Roger Road Pedestrian Safety Walkability Project is starting. That's a Prop 407 project. That's from Romero Road to Oracle, with sidewalks, lighting, landscaping, two RRFBs, and that connects to Romero Road, as Patrick mentioned earlier, where we are potentially going to be funding some additional improvements. That should be starting construction in late summer, so look for that. A shared use path on Marianne Cleveland Way from Houghton Road east to Atterbury Wash Way, which goes by Empire High School and the new library out there. That is starting construction, should be starting construction within about a month. And that's another Prop 407 project. So that's that should be pretty cool. The 5th Street and 6th Street Pedestrian Safety Walkability Project, that is... that should be starting, having some construction starting later this year. That's being combined with the repaving and waterline projects as well. So that's the updates that I have right now.
Great. Patrick or Jim, did you have anything to add?
Yep, I can go ahead and first of all, I'll give you kind of a high level where we are financially with the 411. Right now, to date, we've accumulated $117 million in the Better Streets portion of it and $29 million in the Safe Streets component. Right now, on the Better Streets, we've got about $80 million under contract, and we are wrapping up all the projects on the initial project list. So we're moving right along. We got about probably 3 million square yards of the 26 million square yards in the city of Tucson already improved. And we've got more that are getting wrapped up in the initial project list. Moving over to the collectors, Tucson Boulevard is, I think they finished the paving today. I have to check on that, but then they'll be moving to temporary striping. They do. They are putting in a new ramp at the Oro Chico. So the Arroyo Chico Greenway can cross. That's one of the components of the Tucson Boulevard project. And we are adding the improved striping that the Complete Streets Coordinating Council has approved. So that's forthcoming. And one of the things I'm looking to try to do, I want to push 6th further to the north. I've already got pricing to keep going with 6th and take it all the way to Grant, and also go Elm from Tucson to Campbell. Keep going with the same contractor. We can do that under the job work contract. There are qualified contractors for doing that. The only thing that is holding me up is we do have some shallow old cast iron water lines, and if I can make peace with Tucson Water and figure out a way to get that done, we'll keep cranking on this Tucson Boulevard project. Other projects I've got going on the collectors, we've got I'm going to call it the Rolling Hills Mega Project. We've got the Rolling Hills neighborhood we're going to be doing better streets improvements on, basically pretty much covering everything from Pantano Parkway to Harrison, 22nd to Golf Link. So it's a pretty good area that we're getting in that area. With that, we are doing a number of collectors. We are going to the west of it, picking up 29th Street from Kolb to Avenida Guillermo and Prudence from 29th to 22nd. So that's a collector. That'll get redone with this project. We are looking at doing Sarnoff from Broadway to 22nd and Kenyon from Pantano to Camino Seco. Those will all be, those have on-street parking on the collectors, and they do have bike improvements. So we're going to be doing, working with the planning division to try to get a striping plan that will provide good quality buffered bicycle facilities in there. So that's something that we're working on right now. And we're hoping to push Sarnoff further to the south. It's more of a challenge. I've got that in design, and hopefully we can couple it with that mega project, if I can get the design done before the contractor is. So that is something that we're working on, basically taking Sarnoff from 29th or from 22nd all the way down to Pantano Parkway where it connects. Other collector I wanted to mention, Calle Santa Cruz. It's in design, and hope to have it pop out by the end of the summer, and hopefully can go to bid with that too shortly. So anyway, that's an overview of where we stand with the collectors and higher level 411.
Great. That's a lot.
Yeah. Watch out for the detours.
Okay. Patrick, did you have anything?
Nothing to add. I just mentioned there's a couple comments in the chat that came up. Ariel asked about the Drexel Bridge funding and whether that changes the priority for the collector program. I think we can still look to advance that project. We're still going to pursue every available funding source for Drexel Bridge. We weren't successful this time, but there will be another cycle of raise next year, and it'll be further advanced in design. So it'll be good to kind of get that reconfiguration of the western portion of Drexel completed ahead of the bridge project. And then, Sophia, you'd asked about the Tucson Boulevard. Jim, I think you were referring to moving north of 6th to Grant. Is that correct? Continuing to pave north? That's 22nd to 6th is under construction right now?
I'm sorry. I wasn't clear enough. Yes, that's absolutely the case. Just
oh, I
keep
got
going
that
forward. Oh, okay. I'm
that
also doing
afterwards that I did not get.
I'm sorry. What?
So you were presenting how 6th Ave will go to, you'll extend it to Grant. And then you said something about Tucson to Campbell.
Oh, I'm sorry. Elm Street.
And that's what I'm
Elm
talking
is
about.
Tees off of that section, and I'm going to go take a. I'm going to take a left and keep going with the paving gear. So, and we also have under contract work in the Winter Haven area, and so Tucson Boulevard that ties into the river. So basically, from Prince all the way to the park at the river. Is also being repaved. I've got that under contract as well. That's not a collector. It's a neighborhood, but it's on the Tucson alignment.
So you were talking about how 6th Ave hits Grant and then from Grant.
I'm sorry.
Then you're talking
it's,
about
it's,
Grant.
It's not 6th Avenue. It's Tucson Boulevard. I'm not doing 6th Avenue. I'm doing from 6th Street north to Grant. 6th Street is where the current project stops. So it's 6th to 22nd. That's the phase that we're building right now. Then 6th to Grant is the next phase. I'm sorry if I was not clear on that.
Okay. Any other questions for DTM? Okay, so lastly, we you have this link, but this is the future meeting topics list that we have at the top of the agenda. I think you all maybe have comment access to this. And so you can look at what's in the list. What's already been covered is down in gray below. So if there are thoughts you have, if everybody wants to just kind of peruse this, are you all able to see it yourselves or do I need to share screen? I'm assuming you're not answering because you're
seeing it.
We should handle that verbally. You're not. We shouldn't be working in a shared electronic document as a quorum of the committee outside of the committee.
Okay, so don't put anything in there. Just look at it and then raise your hand if you have anything to add. Sophia.
The call to the public was brought up 2 times, which is a lot for a community member to have to come to a meeting. And so I think that the 22nd Street should be at the next meeting. The 22nd Street discussion of Country Club should be.
So 22nd Street discussion was brought up 2 times, is what you're saying. Yeah.
Regarding Country Club, yeah.
Other thoughts? Somebody
no,
else?
I think that's a good idea.
Okay. Unless there's any other comments, and certainly if you know, tomorrow it occurs to you, oh, we should really talk about this, just email Patch or email Ryan and we'll make sure to include it when we discuss the next month's agenda. Okay. And it's 7 o'clock and we're going to end half an hour early while it's still light out and maybe a little cooler. You can actually go outside. If Sophia and Marshall can move to adjourn the meeting.
I move to release us to go outside.
Even better.
I second that.
All right. See you all next month. Thanks for your good service and thoughtful contribution.
Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you all.
Thanks, everybody. Mm-hmm.